Anyway, okay, so my thing with the Stanley Cup or just like the NHL in general, I always think it's weird. And of course, like as a professional sports league across the nation, obviously you want to put your franchises in the biggest metropolitan areas and everything.
Right.
But it's so bizarre to me when I see that competing for the Stanley Cup final is the Dallas Stars and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Two places where I would not immediately associate a lot of hockey being played,
no,
or hockey being a big prominent
the ice
sport
would
there.
melt.
Well,
you'd
exactly,
think,
and
right?
they have like a Florida franchise, and then you have like Anaheim, which is it still Anaheim? Anaheim
I
Ducks.
think so,
yeah,
unless they
and then
changed.
Los Angeles. Obviously, we're big hockey guys, but
big hockey guys.
I just always think it's weird when you hear a city associated with a professional hockey team, and I'm just like, do they even allow people to play hockey down there? Can you even like get
Are there
ice?
such things as ice rinks down there?
No, there's no way.
I think what happens is they just have to play like on concrete and just play some stick ball,
That's
and
actually pretty fun. Yeah.
That's how they learn. Well, I like playing like in the old like high school gym. You know, like you played like stick ball in the gym, but I guess that's a little bit different.
Rollerblades?
Yeah, rollerblades in high school, just some pads and everything, just start knocking people around.
Man, I haven't been on rollerblades in a minute.
That's probably a safe thing. All right, and welcome back to the locker room. We are Spokane's only continuous sports show for the moment until someone else tries to knock us off our perch. I am your host, Justin Reed, alongside Andrew Tenney, and we are here to talk some sports. And there's a lot going on, and I'm excited for it. I'm pumped. I'm here for it. We're just talking some Stanley Cup playoffs.
Kind
probably
of.
should get into hockey more. I think it's a fun sport. There's a couple problems. I can't follow the puck, and I don't know the rules.
I think we established that last week.
Both
yeah.
both are super important to be able to like the game of hockey, I would assume.
Yeah, you would think.
But it is what it is, and we'll see. Who are you rooting for? Do you have a
probably
horse?
Tampa Bay. Dallas, yeah. Those green jerseys, I just – Dallas in green doesn't work for me.
So one of my buddies from – actually for a long time was a big Dallas Stars fan. I don't know
really?
why, but the Stars, I think they won a championship like 10 years ago or something, but I think they used to be really good in the mid-2000s. But I think I'm gonna root for the Lightning, mainly because of the local connection.
Yeah, that's fair.
And yeah, the Lightning, they do look better. They just have a
and they've just been a good team over the past what, 5-6 years, and they've
yeah.
like we talked about, they were in the Cup final against the Blackhawks.
Yep.
So a few years ago.
We are lucky here to have a beautiful sponsor filled with awesome people, and that's Lucky Bird.
Yeah, that is Lucky Bird. For anybody that watches the show, first off, shout out, thank you, we love you. But you know who else we love? Of course, Lucky Bird. And Lucky Bird wants you guys to know that they are a Spokane-based e-commerce and digital marketing company dedicated to helping local companies scale in the online world of e-commerce and digital marketing. So visit LuckyBirdBrands.com to have a down-to-earth, no-pressure conversation about your digital marketing and e-commerce strategies today.
Lucky Bird is where you go if you want to fly high.
Nice. I just love all the riffs that you keep coming up with. No, they're organic. They're authentic, and you keep coming up. Man, you're just like a well
of flying bird
references.
Analogies. Yeah. That one came off the cuff because I actually had a different one in mind, which would have been much worse. So I'm actually pretty happy with that one.
Okay, well, you can save that for next week.
I'll save it for next week. But Lucky Bird, use them. They're cool. They know what they're doing. And
great people at Lucky
Bird. We're happy to have them on board. So we will move into some more sports talk. NBA Finals are cruising right along, and NBA
Conference
playoffs
finals, yeah.
Moving toward the finals. And things are getting interesting, at least in the grand scheme of things. But another unfortunate loss for the boys in green. And how are you feeling about it?
I think that's really funny how you just want to skip over what really is the headline here.
No, that's the headline.
Oh, is that the headline?
Headline is the Celtics. They did put up a battle. They put up more of a fight than I thought that they would have.
Seriously, have you watched the rest of the series? I mean,
not actually put up a fight, but metaphorically put up a fight.
Also, we got to stop shooting the shows the mornings after these brutal losses.
One of these times, I'm going to come on this show by myself because someone isn't around anymore.
Yeah, no.
And I think it's coming sooner rather than later.
It is. I mean, so the last time we were here recording, they just fell behind 2-0, and it was looking absolutely bleak, and they had blown leads in both games, huge freaking leads, and I was just irate after each, because it's like, hey, we should be winning these games, but I understand the team just doesn't have that closing experience. I thought it was impressive that they got past Toronto with their championship pedigree. that they have established there. But man, this Miami Heat team, like I said, they're just the better team. They should win this series. So yeah, now they're up 3-1. They're going to play again Friday night. We'll see if I have if I actually show up and watch that. But so one of the criticisms after Miami's game 3 loss was that Jimmy, I think he only had like 18 points, but he wasn't being aggressive. He would get the ball close to the basket down in the paint, and instead of going up with it, he would turn around, and he's always making the smart plays and the smart passes and everything, and he was doing that. But because of the fact that nobody else on the team, for the first time in months, didn't actually have anything going, people wanted to see him take it upon himself to really initiate the offense and to take those looks and those opportunities. And so he did. He had 24, which still isn't a staggering number of points, but we know how their team is constructed and how much he means and how much his play that doesn't show up in the points column or even just in the box score in general actually contributes to them winning. So last week I also addressed Goran Dragic as the best player on the planet, but what I forgot to mention was that he and Tyler Hero actually have a pact that states that if Goran Dragic is not playing well and is off of his godlike game, that Tyler Hero actually picks up the slack and plays like the best player. Yep. Dude, this guy has no fear. You have those players in the NBA, you always hear like the irrational, confident players, like the Dion Waiters types. However, Tyler Hero at 20 years old as a rookie out of Kentucky, all of his confidence is completely warranted, rational, justified. This guy is awesome. He was 14 of 21 from the field, so that's only like 67%.
Yeah.
And that's taking 21 attempts. Like, that's a lot of shot attempts, especially coming off the bench. And he 37 points, and he was 50%, 5 of 10 from 3. He was absolutely incredible. And every time Boston got something going, it seemed like he hit a timely shot to stave off. It was the first game that Miami ended up getting out to, I think the largest lead was 12 points, but it was the first game where it was really nip and tuck. It was pretty close. It was a really sloppy game, especially in the first half. Neither team was shooting particularly well, but the game was in range. So that actually gave me a little bit of optimism, because I'm like, hey, you know, we're not good with leads, so maybe let's try this out. Didn't end up working.
It's a sound strategy. One might think that that's not a good strategy, but for the Celtics, I think that was a good thought.
Yeah, it was. However, it didn't actually lead to a different outcome.
So what do they do now? If leads aren't good and deficits aren't good, what's next?
I have no idea.
I think they're going to lose.
I really don't know.
I think they are.
I would be surprised if they rolled over, to be honest. I think this team has fight. It has character.
Well, they have fight, you know, after that, like, that game. What, was it the game 2 loss that they went?
Yes.
Yeah, so they definitely have some sort of fight.
That was a healthy display of emotion. Shows that they care. Anyway, the Heat are probably going to win the series. However, I would not be surprised in the slightest if Boston came back and took a second game in was it game 5 on Friday? But yeah, no, the Heat are going to go to the finals. It's fine. It's what it is.
Hero came out of nowhere, really. I mean, he was drafted, what, 14th overall?
Yeah.
But he
taken right before Boston possibly could have selected him.
I remember him in college, obviously, last year, but he scored 14 points, had 4.5 rebounds and 2.5 assists as a freshman at Kentucky. He started all 37 games. But he was highly recruited by University of Wisconsin, Arizona State, Oregon State. And he actually committed to Wisconsin before saying, no thanks, John Calipari wants me. I'm going to go play at Kentucky.
Milwaukee
but
native, yeah.
What's really surprising, though, is his stats really aren't that mind-boggling, but he this entire series he's really done well, and I think his name has really come up to the top in terms of potential stars moving forward. But I mean, he's averaging I think 12 points a game this year, 13 points a game this
year.
But
he does all those things, like I was just mentioning, that don't show up in the box score. Like, his off-ball movement is really impressive, especially for a player that's that young. Yeah, his basketball IQ is good. He rebounds better than his size, kind of like Brandon Clark-esque. Yep. Obviously, he's a lot smaller and plays a different position, but he rebounds surprisingly well for his stature, too. But
and that's big.
He's awesome.
If you're going to survive in the NBA, because let's say he continues to score 13.5 points, I would assume that's going to go up next year. But let's say he stays in the teens. If he can put together a career where he stuffs the box sheet in other areas and he becomes – he's obviously a fan favorite. He's obviously an important part of this team. They love him there. I mean, did you see at the end of the game? I mean, everyone, like, they surrounded him after – and obviously he had a massive game. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch going down the road, seeing what he's able to do moving forward in terms of his progression. But, yeah, I think the Heat are in fine position. I think that they're going to go to the finals and probably play the Lakers.
Yeah. Just one more thing on Boston just to just gripe about. So they had 19 turnovers to Miami's 10, and it was just another game. It's like they actually figured out the zone, and they continued to attack it, which they just could not comprehend for the life of them in the first two games.
They've never seen a zone before.
However, they were just sloppy and careless with the ball, and they threw it away a lot. And for the first time in what seems like maybe a month, we got that Marcus Smart game that you don't want. He was 3 of 12, 1 of 8 from 3. He had really big turnovers, timely, yep. or less than timely turnovers.
Timely for the Heat.
And he was just doing the thing where he chucks up shots so early in the shot clock, and these are coming after offensive rebounds, second possessions for them, opportunities for second chance points, and he gets at the top of the perimeter, and he just chucks up three, and it's like, dude, there are four other guys on the floor, and one of them might even be Tice that I'd rather see the ball fly from his wrist than yours at
contrary
this moment.
Contrary to popular belief, there are other NBA players on the court who can also make a shot outside of just Marcus Smart.
It's true. It's like you get away with it because he's so integral to their success from an emotional standpoint, and he's always locked in on defense. So you have to give him that, you know, leash, that leeway. Unfortunately, this time, for the first time in a while, it just bit them in the butt. But Heat in six.
Six, okay.
Yeah, I think Boston will win on Friday.
I think you got to compete at least. And, I mean, obviously the Celtics have competed this entire playoffs. And so I think that'll be nice moving forward for them as a franchise. Hopefully they can get another piece or two that will be able to give them the edge. Yeah. And for your sake, at least, because I don't care
in terms of their
success. But in terms of your mental health, I think it might be good.
So do you want to talk about the other series that I have no emotional investment in?
We
that
can.
I can talk about?
I mean, the other series is also over.
Is it?
Yeah,
how can
I think
you
it
say
is.
That?
I think it is, mainly because I think the Lakers are just a better team.
Are they?
I think so.
You know that Anthony Davis had two rebounds.
I do.
JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard
totaled four.
Rebounds.
I saw that. I'm like, are you serious? You guys, especially Dwight Howard, are bigger, stronger, and can jump higher than everybody else on the Nuggets, and yet you get four rebounds. I was shocked when I saw that. I think the combination of Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be enough in the end. Now, the Nuggets are doing something that I never believed that they would have been able to do, and that's make the Lakers look decently pedestrian in the grand scheme of things. And I just think the Lakers are going to win. I just think LeBron is LeBron. As much as I love to harp on him and love to hate on LeBron, he still has
the greatest
that it
player.
Factor.
Yeah.
And he still, I think, has – he's Brady. He's Brady on the basketball court, where even if his team around him isn't as good as usual, he has – a force behind him that isn't even LeBron, but like it almost feels like God wants him to win. It is really frustrating.
So, yeah, the Lakers are going to win, but I don't think you can just completely count Denver out. You understand now that they are in the driver's seat. If they give up this game four and go down 3-1, they're exactly where they want to be.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine? Could you even fathom if they, in three consecutive playoff series, climb back from a 3-1 deficit?
I would
love to see it happen.
I would love nothing more.
I would almost take that after or over Boston.
I would love to see the Lakers lose. I would really love it. I would love to see a Nuggets Heat, and I would like to see the Nuggets win it all. I like the Heat, but the amount of adversity the Nuggets have gone through throughout this entire playoffs is mind-boggling. The amount of minutes they've played on the court is probably three times more than anybody else.
They're young, they're spry, they got spring
in
their step.
They're young, they're spry, and they're fun to watch. They're exciting to watch because you never know what they're going to do, and you never know how they're going to get there, but you always just feel, and like you said, they aren't out of it, and I don't think the series is over, but I think the Lakers are going to win. But what makes the Nuggets unique is that, like you said, are they going to go down 3-1 again and then come back? And there's not a doubt in my mind that the Nuggets don't have the skill and the wherewithal to be able to win the series. I just think God or the forces behind sports wants LeBron's and the Brady's to win.
Yeah, if that were the case, I think the Boston Celtics would actually make it to the finals so that the NBA could get that oh-so-coveted Los Angeles-Boston matchup.
Oh, they'd love it.
However, that would not... No. Okay,
well, Michael Silver isn't God.
The thing that I want to... Adam Silver, yeah. The thing that I want to mention, too, is that those first two games... It's okay. Last week, I called Kareem Hunt Alvin Kamara. It's okay. the first two games, Denver played them really well. Like, those games could have gone Denver's way. It wasn't like... the Lakers were just like running them out of the gym. Those were competitive games, and overall, Los Angeles hasn't looked like a superior team. I mean, obviously they're probably the better team, but they haven't showed it. Denver's been there, so I don't know. I think this has the potential to go at least six. If it went seven, that would be incredible. Mm-hmm. I love this Denver team.
I think we go seven. That's good news for the Nuggets. I think if in terms of the fact that I think the Nuggets would have a better shot in a game seven than the Lakers do, just again because of the fact that they're like, we've been here, we've done this, everybody wants us to win.
Well, and Jamal Murray, before our eyes in this postseason, in the bubble, has really solidified himself as a clutch down the stretch go-to option. Yep. And there was so much ridicule last year because he was so inconsistent in the playoffs and the weird postseason that Denver had, and then losing in Game 7 to the Portland Trailblazers and everything. And then early in their series this season against Utah, it was kind of the same thing. It was the up and down, up and down. But he's really evened out and been more consistent. And just some of the plays that he makes, it's not even just the dagger shots that are like 5-6 feet beyond the arc that he hits to put teams away. But his playmaking, too, and some of the passes that he's making, and just the really smart decisions, knowing that he's going to get the attention because of the shot-making ability. But I love this Denver team. I don't want this series to go by quickly. I actually think it's maybe more entertaining than even the Boston and Heat series at this point, just because I think that one, the outcome is a lot more inevitable.
Nope, I agree. Michael Silver, by the way, is a writer for NFL.
Yes, yes.
So at least my guys.
There is a person.
There is a person named Mike. There's a person in the world named Michael Silver, so that's what I was going for, really.
I know, believe it or not.
So we do have a little bit of NBA news outside of the playoff discussion. Billy Donovan, former coach of the Florida Gators, who made them in a national powerhouse, and former coach of the Oklahoma-Seattle Thunder. I'm only saying because I'm wearing a Sonics jersey this week.
Hey, he blew a 3-1 lead to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, there you go. That is true, and it's very unfortunate. But he also, I'm happy that he left because I actually like Billy Donovan, and I don't think his character fits with the backstabbers of Oklahoma City.
Whoa.
He got a new job as the coach of the Chicago Bulls. I think it's a good fit for them. I think it's a good fit for him specifically, and... what are your thoughts on that?
So we were talking a couple weeks ago after, of course, OKC got bounced in the Game 7 by Houston, and they Billy Donovan and OKC mutually agreed to part ways. Typically when that is, you know, stated or cited as the way that the relationship ended, usually it's not actually mutual. However, maybe it was this time. But anyway, one of the things that we were talking about was that he's not exactly the type of head coach that you want if you have a team of superstars with like legitimate NBA championship aspirations. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be the one to cultivate all these big superstar personalities.
At least not at this point in his career.
And temperaments. Yeah. At least what he's shown to be since he's gotten to the NBA.
Yep.
So obviously he wasn't going to get like a Nets head coaching job, or, you know, if there was another franchise, like one of the LAs that, you know, had a coaching vacancy, he probably wouldn't be the first in line there. I think there was some discussion about him possibly going to Philadelphia. However, I would avoid that like the plague. But anyway, I do like the fit just because he's probably, based on what we've seen him do with OKC, especially post Kevin Durant, he's going to get the most out of the players. They do have some young, talented pieces, obviously, with like Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine there in Chicago. So I think he's going to get them to buy in. And basically anything is an upgrade over Jim Boylan at this point. And I think that franchise and all those players just hated Jim Boylan and everything about him. Sounds like he just went about everything the wrong way and just could not rub people any worse. But I think he's going to get him to play defense. Stop.
I just wanted to make sure that we were.
He's going to get him to play defense. He's going to get him to buy in. He's going to get effort out of them that we have not seen.
Yeah.
Since Jim Boylan was coach there.
I agree, and I think one of the interesting things about college coaches on both the NFL, actually on any level, is they know good coaches, that is, not the ones who are good based off of just the kids that come in. But like a guy like Mark Few to me, I think would do really well on an NBA level because of the fact that it's the coaches who have taken pro. Because Florida wasn't anything special before he got there. They had good seasons in the past, but he made Florida Florida. And I think the coaches who are able to, like you said, now I don't think Mark Few would succeed on, like you said, in one of the LA teams, one of the superstar big city teams. But a team like the Bulls, who have a couple pieces, but are trying to bring in young talent and build up from the ground. Correct. Now, do I think that Billy Donovan is the coach to win them an NBA title in Chicago? Probably not. But I think he's a perfect bridge to get him to another coaching job, like maybe like if he brings Chicago to the playoffs for the next 3 years and advances, you know, maybe to the conference finals, I could see him getting a bigger job. But I think he's the perfect candidate to bridge this young Bulls team from the point where they are now to a competitive point, and then bring someone else in to bring them to that next level, I think.
Well, another great thing about this opportunity for him is that he's starting from scratch with a team and a franchise right now that really doesn't have an identity. Oklahoma City, obviously, there's still the lingering effects because they were so close to getting to their second finals, you know, back in 2016 after blowing that 3-1 lead, as we mentioned earlier. And so there's still, you know, you tie in Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. They're synonymous with the city of Oklahoma, or the city of Oklahoma. There we go. And the Thunder and everything. And so there's still some of those residual effects, I think. And he wasn't completely able to get out of the shadow. And then you bring in a huge player like Chris Paul, and that just kind of overshadows Billy Donovan and his presence and everything. Although he did get the attention and respect and consideration for Coach of the Year, like he should have, especially what he was able to do with that roster and get the most out of it, which is what I think you and I both believe he'll do in Chicago. But he gets to start fresh and really build a team himself and establish Billy Donovan as the identity of the Chicago Bulls going forward. So I think, if anything, it's a morale boost for the city of Chicago.
Yeah, no, I think so too, and I think it's a good move for their long-term future, but also it's a Bulls franchise for Donovan. That's like, I mean, if you just history of the NBA, that's an awesome franchise to work for because of their long-standing history in the league. Moving on to kind of a little bit different topic in terms of not quite on the court related, something that I think is at least worth a discussion. Over the last couple days, Vanessa Bryant, obviously the widow to Kobe Bryant, has filed a lawsuit against the LA County Sheriff's Department, alleging that the damages to herself and her family, in based off of the fact that these sheriff's deputies took photos of the crash scene and shared it among themselves, is damaging to their family. And I think that's completely fair in terms of the fact that you don't want to see that. And there's no reason why those photos ever should have been taken. But if we look at the other side, the one thing I do want to say in this whole thing is there was, and not talking about morality in this term, there was no legal obligation for the sheriff's deputies to not take these photos. Unfortunately, again, I think they shouldn't have. But in my eyes, I don't know if the sheriff's deputy, because you look at an organization like TMZ. Let's bring TMZ into this. TMZ has been historically very good at getting photos of things you never thought that you would ever see. Or video. And yet, no one ever is like, I'm going to sue TMZ. Like, I know people say that, but you never see that on a sporting level. You never see someone say, like, well, why is, you know, we're going to sue TMZ for all that they're worth. In my mind, I just feel like this is a they're making the sheriff's department kind of scapegoats in this entire investigation because of the fact that there was no law saying that they couldn't do this. Morale, again, on the moral side, terrible, shouldn't have been done. But I don't think that this lawsuit, in my eyes, should be advanced to the point where the sheriff's department or the sheriffs themselves should get any sort of punishment outside of the internal investigation and what the sheriff's department deems should or shouldn't have been done.
Well, it sounds like from a legality basis that it probably won't anyway. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you bring up it's really a societal scope of a question and a topic of conversation, because obviously this is a society in the climate that we live in, things going viral, people staging different events and like practical jokes and just doing stupid stuff public for the chance to go viral. People are recording everything instead of maybe stepping into an altercation or actually coming to the aid of somebody. But as long as they have it on their phone, it's really unfortunate. I'm actually kind of surprised that this didn't happen sooner, because this far after, and I guess it really wasn't that long ago, it was end of January, I think, is when he passed.
Yep.
And everybody else that was involved with that helicopter crash. But this kind of sounds like when I first saw it, that it would be kind of like Vanessa looking for somebody to displace her anger and all of the awful emotions that she mm-hmm. and her family have had to go through. So I was actually kind of surprised that this didn't happen sooner. So it does make me wonder a little bit if this actually is coming from more of a rational place in her mind, rather than just like the knee-jerk reaction
yeah.
of her husband and her daughter passing and just wanting to put the blame and anger and make somebody else the scapegoat and just to make somebody else life worse and miserable. So misery loves company. It definitely doesn't seem like it's that, especially just based on the calendar and when this is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awful, and the fact that she and her family weren't let known by the police,
the
and instead they had
avenues.
To exactly. Yeah. I can't imagine what that was like to go through and to endure. It's tragic. Like, it's truly awful. I don't have a problem with her, filing this lawsuit. I really don't. And yeah, from the perspective of morality, the cops. Yeah. No, you don't want that. You shouldn't be doing that. However. And I don't want to just, let them off the hook because of the society that we live in and
yeah.
kind of how the culture is surrounding, things taking place that are obviously very polarizing
in
recording them.
Yeah, my couple quick thoughts on that. First off, I don't know if I can say that I wouldn't take a photo if I was on scene. Now, am I saying I'm going to
be like... Well, that's fair of you. That's honest.
Because,
honest.
Think about it. Because you look at a site like, Spokane News on Facebook? So Spokane News, essentially, they go off of the police scanner and they say, this happened at this location. And then all of a sudden, there's photos of crashes. There's photos of police, like, outside of houses because someone who lives next door is going out, taking a photo and uploading it. Now, the LA County Sheriff's Department has you're allowed to take you're not allowed to take photos of crime scenes, but there was no law or rule in place that said you can't take photos of accidents. And I think that goes back to the fact that you look at a website like Spokane News, not even just Spokane News, but people post things on their public Facebooks all the time, like, look what happened
right.
across the street from my work today, and look at this car that's flipped over, and here's their license plate that you can see. So I think it's my big thing is it's not just the fact that it's because it's Kobe that this is a big deal, and I don't
yeah.
want to say that, but it is.
Yeah.
If there were photos of a normal crime scene of average regular people or of an accident, this wouldn't be headlines. No one would be suing the Sheriff's County, LA Sheriff's Department for taking these photos, and if they did, it wouldn't be on AP News. And so that's my thought to the whole thing is that like you said, too, I don't think that it's fair for the police department, specifically the deputies who took these photos, to be, chastised for what they did. Because I think humans in general like to share.
Right.
You like to look at crashes. When you drive
right.
When you drive by on the highway and you see a big crash on the side of the road, your first,
it's like you can't take your eyes off of it because it's so horrible and you know what's coming and you
yeah.
don't want to see it. But at the same time, you can't look
you
away.
You just can't. And so that's my thought is. There's already legislation on Governor Gavin Newsom's desk to prevent sheriff's deputies from taking photos. And I think that's fine. I think that's all it needs to do. I think the sheriff's department can internally reprimand these officers. But I hope that this doesn't lead to these deputies losing their jobs over a
Yeah, and I think you make a good point because as awful as it might be to say, if we're all being honest with ourselves, if we were in the same position as those officers on the site, things probably would have gone very similarly. So
yeah.
I think you make a good point. And overall, the entire thing is just so unfortunate. And yeah, I don't know. That's all there is to say about it, really.
There really is. And let's move on to NFL. We have plenty to talk about. NFL is in full swing.
It's a nice, smooth segue into an
upbeat. More... I guess interesting topic, things that people actually like to discuss.
Actually, I guess the way we're going to start this isn't that upbeat. For
no, good point.
Most of the teams,
it's
including
not upbeat
San
at all,
Francisco
including
49ers.
San Francisco. Thankfully, in
hey,
terms
hey,
of
hey, hey,
not
hey,
the
hey.
Injuries,
whoa, whoa,
but
whoa,
the success
whoa.
Of their team.
We don't want karma coming back. We already
karma
felt,
won't.
We already felt it a little bit.
The Seahawks
night.
Are already not loved by the NFL gods. We've known that their entire franchise.
Okay.
No one likes the Seahawks. So.
Yeah, you're right. This is not a great topic to start off in terms of fun and enjoying. But
week two was crazy. Unprecedented.
Absolutely wild. I think they had 7 ACL tears, and Schefter said that that's the most he can ever remember, and that's probably true, especially to big-name stars. I'm going to run down the list here of players whose seasons were, if not ended, that were significantly altered. First off, Joey Bosa of the Niners. Nick Bosa of the Niners, done for the year. And that's big news for the Niners. On top of that, also Solomon Thomas of the Niners, torn ACL, done for the year.
And, of course, he's getting a lot more action this year after the DeForest Buckner trade.
Yep.
And so their line depth, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, their riders were pretty suspect of it. I can only imagine. Yeah. Again, we're going to be called by the 49ers for whatever reason. They didn't call us last week. However, I'm expecting the phone to ring here soon.
Yeah, I'm expecting Shanahan to just to pull up on my phone.
Raheem
here.
Mostert also went down. Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe he's able and available to play. However,
wimp.
I don't.
He didn't come out for the second half, and they're coming out and saying like, "Oh yeah, he has a chance to play this week." I'm sorry.
Why would you? Kyle Shanahan's a smart coach. They're a smart organization. Why would you? You're playing the Jets. You're already winning. Just run the ball. That's all they had to do anyway.
I just
also
wanna,
Jordan Reed, who has been in concussion protocol for the past 12 years. Did he score 2 touchdowns?
He scored at least 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, damn, I totally forgot that they signed him. And the fact that he's in the end zone, good for you, Jordan Reed. Way to be persistent and stick it out because your career looked awful.
He also, it's probably because of his last name, mainly is why he's been able to overcome.
At least
so
he spells it right, because there is a Justin Reed that went to Stanford and plays for the Houston Texans.
Eric Reed's little brother. R-E-I-D is the worst spelling of the last name Reed in the history of mankind, and if you spell your name like that, you should look at getting it changed. Actually, I don't want you to, because you're probably a jabroni.
Nice.
Well, that's not my jabroni of the week, by the way.
There you go. I can't wait for that.
That one's going to be good. Number two, which arguably is the largest injury in terms of potential and draft pick status and franchise altering based off of his position, is Saquon Barkley. His torn ACL, which didn't even look that bad. When I saw it, I'm like, I don't see – because usually when you see torn ACLs, the knee buckles, it gets twisted in certain ways, non-contact. He was tackled, went down awkwardly. But I would, if I had to be look at 2 videos of a torn ACL and a torn ACL, I would never say Barkley torn ACL.
It was interesting, too, because a couple plays beforehand, he had to come out of the game because when he landed on his elbow, it shocked up and all of his weight went into his elbow and his shoulder. And it looked like he hyperextended it. I didn't think he was going to come back into the game after that.
Probably
because that looked
point.
A lot more awkward than the knee injury that he had. But that's a huge blow. Get well, Saquon. Christian McCaffrey, his season isn't over, but he's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, I think, with a high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. Drew Lock went down, and he's going to be out a few weeks. And so Blake of the Year contender, contestant
and,
year
and
after year. Blake Bortles is back with the Denver Broncos.
He is back. We talked about him, week 2 of this show or something, where he came out. I keep hitting this microphone. Where he came out and he's being interviewed. I think it was Barstool. He talked about ripping cigs and everything. Yeah. So that's awesome to see. Poor Broncos. They had Von Miller go down before the season.
Yep.
They have their potentially franchise QB and Drew Lock go down for 4 to 6 weeks, 3 to 6 or whatever it is. And then they lose Cortland Sutton, their number one wide receiver, who last year had a killer season and came out and kind of blew the top off of the NFL in terms of the fact that no one thought that he was going to be able to take over from the Demaryius Thomas years and things like that. And so that's just the injury bug has bit both the Niners and the Broncos to the point where Broncos aren't going to compete this year. And I don't know if the Niners are going to make the playoffs. I really don't. In the hotly contested NFC West, but specifically the NFC Conference, I don't see a path where the Niners get in unless Jimmy Garoppolo becomes an actual franchise quarterback.
Or unless Kyle Shanahan has the best coaching year in the history of the NFL. Because we saw that year where they were riding with C.J. Beathard and then had to turn to Nick Mullins, who actually looked good in stretches. We have seen in the past that Kyle Shanahan has been able to generate offense very competently, more than competently, with less than stellar or star players on the field. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that, but I just got to think that they're down the dumps. How could you not be truly the least fortunate team so far this year in the NFL?
No, for sure. The Tavon Young is out for a while for the slot corner for the Ravens, who signed a
Devontae Adams, Malik Hooker,
also
safety
also
for the Colts.
Pretty good. Brandon Sheriff, the Washington football team's guard.
Bruce Irvin tore his ACL on Sunday night game.
If we look at the Seahawks, they lost Bruce Irvin, who, again, didn't – I mean, he was in pain when he first went down. He walked off the field. Pete Carroll said he has a knee sprain, which technically, I guess, is a torn ACL.
We thought we were off the hook.
We thought we were off the hook with Bruce Irvin. Now, you look at Marquise Blair's injury, and you're like, that guy's done for the year.
Yeah.
Because his leg was, like, straight, and then, like, that you saw that buckle. You saw that popping motion,
right.
And you knew for a fact, like, that guy's – he's unfortunately done. So he got – the Seahawks got hit bit decently hard because Marquise Blair was that in the nickel corner in that offense, but he was also backup safety. He played really hard, hit really hard. He came in when Quandre Diggs went out with that helmet-to-helmet hit and was disqualified for the rest of the game. So that's a big loss. And then Bruce Irvin, the fact that Seahawks can't even generate a pass rush with him, now can't generate a pass rush with or without him, probably.
Right. And, of course, any Seahawk fan knows that Marquise Blair was one of the most exciting players that we were all really looking forward to watch, especially all the reports coming out of camp of him really locking down that nickel corner position. And now Ugo Amadi, who actually played well in relief of Marquise in Sunday night's game, is going to be taking that over. I would assume, like we already have seen, we're going to see Lano Hill as well. Rotating in there, but yeah, really a bummer. Last player of note, Miami Dolphins cornerback Byron Jones, big off-season acquisition from Dallas. I'm not sure that he's out for the year, but he's going to be out for a lengthy period of time. But basically, like I said, it was just an unprecedented week in the NFL as it pertained to injuries. It was weird because week one was
clean.
With
all
things considered,
that was our fault.
So
this was our fault.
This was the real week one.
Yeah.
Week two was actually the real week one.
It was our fault. One thing I do want to also touch on before we jump to a different topic here real quick is – And I hate harping on the Niners, but they are a soft franchise. Did you hear what they said when they came out? They had the two injuries, and they came out after the game, and they're like, oh, this field is – we're scared to play here next week against the Jets. This field was so bad. And then they had no problems week one, and then the NFL came in and looked at the field. They're like, everything looks fine. Like, because every NFL field before the week has to get looked at and certified and given the green light to play. And the fact that the Niners came out and said we're scared – because of a football field, they don't deserve to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you must be a Seahawks fan or something. We must do a sports podcast in the state of Washington.
Not even a Seahawks fan. Like, if I'm an NFL fan, I'm looking at the Niners and saying, you are soft. You are a soft organization. Your players are soft. Your ligaments are soft. Everything about your franchise is soft. Right?
Yeah, I
definitely,
mean, the only...
Just agree with me.
I don't know if I want to. I don't know because stuff was coming out before the game was actually played that they weren't super happy with the way that the field was. I guess that they did get new turf there at MetLife, and of course they have to go back again this week, or they stayed there to play the Giants, so they're going to play again. I don't know. The Jets didn't seem to have a ton of injuries, so... It seemed just to be kind of an unlucky break for the Niners, but yes, that was an interesting storyline coming out after the game. But I guess that's kind of to be expected with everything that happened.
It's a cancel culture. They want to cancel MetLife Stadium.
I would too, and I think most of the Jets and Giants fans are probably down for that as well.
Seahawks won their only Super Bowl there, so I'm
it's
all
true.
On
hey,
MetLife.
Good point. Good point.
Don't cancel MetLife. Speaking of soft, the NFL is soft. Five head coaches this weekend were fined $100,000 as individuals, and their teams were fined $250,000 for not wearing their face masks, face coverings, whatever you want to call it, on a consistent basis. Pete Carroll, Vic Fangio, Kyle Shanahan, John Gruden, and Sean Payton were all fined $100,000, teams $250,000. The NFL made $2 million this weekend just on fines alone. Soft. Every single person on that field is tested daily, not on game day. I don't know why, but not on game day, probably because they don't want players to actually come up positive. Anyway, they're tested 6 days a week. Everyone on that field, everyone who goes into that stadium. You can't call in plays and coach your guys up when you're covered up like this. Like, if you're trying to yell, and even though there's no fans, you're trying to yell like this, and you're trying to, like, hey, we're calling this, like, 12, 15-word play out. And you're expecting coaches not to pull it down and be like, You got to coach him up. And Carroll came out, and I wish you wouldn't have done this, but I knew he was going to.
You knew it was coming.
He came out, and he's like, I got to be better. I got to get coached. You know, I understand how serious this is. And we're not talking about the pandemic that's going on. It's the fact that every single player on that field has already been tested, every coach, every team representative, everyone working in that stadium. And so $100,000 is a pretty penny for some of these head coaches, and $250,000 is nothing to scoff at for organizations. So I just think the NFL's soft. I think you can't expect them to wear their face masks for 80, 90% of the time.
I basically agree with everything that you said. However, I understand from a PR perspective why the NFL has to do it. They just have to. And yeah, we can sit here and we can argue about it and the actual logic and some of like the reasoning that goes into it or doesn't seem to go into it. You're not allowed to ask questions.
No.
Or else you become Dwight Howard, as he was in the bubble, being like, hey, we get tested every day and we haven't had a positive test in over 2 months. Why do we have to wear masks? Yeah, those are the conversations that they don't want you to have. They're actually, you're not allowed to have them. So why are we sitting here having them? Because we're probably going to get canceled.
Yeah, speaking of cancel culture, we won't be here next week.
No, we won't. Yeah. But
the NFL is going to shut us down. They'll fine us $250,000, and we just can't afford that.
Yeah, it's dumb. I agree with you. It's dumb. However, I do understand why it's happening. Yeah. I think it's interesting, too, that Pete was, one in the early weeks of the season, one of the guys that got hit with the fine because he has really been on the forefront of being of advocating for this movement and expressing the importance of wearing the masks and taking the virus seriously and everything. And all throughout training camp, he was on his P's and Q's with it. Yep. And so I just think it's kind of ironic that he, within the first 2 weeks, is one of the several head coaches that have been hit with a fine. Irony.
A little bit of news happening both yesterday and this morning. First off, let's start off. Randy Moss was almost a member of the Seattle Seahawks in their Super Bowl title-winning season. When Percy Harvin went down with his hip injury, John Schneider reached out to Randy Moss and said, hey, man, we'd love to have you come play for the Hawks. At this time, I think he was 35, but it's Randy Moss. Like, who wouldn't want Randy Moss to come play?
Well, and it's Seattle. Who would not want a legendary receiver who is in his mid to late 30s?
No, we've already seen it with Jerry Rice and T.O. Seattle.
T.J. Houshmandzadeh.
T.J. Hoosier Mama was here, so that was awesome. So that was pretty cool news. Russell Wilson's new podcast that is on ESPN is where Randy Moss broke that news. And I actually didn't watch it, but I would assume Russell Wilson would have been like, bro, we would have, me and, Mr. Unlimited would have loved having you on the team, you know, and talked about in third person about himself, which is he loves doing. So that was always weird. The other piece of breaking news that came out this morning, Adam Schefter said that Damon Snacks Harrison, big guy, really big guy, run stuffer, played for the Giants, was undrafted to the Lions, or sorry, to the Giants, was then traded to the Lions for a fifth round draft pick. Hasn't played this entire season, and he said, I guess, I don't think he wanted to play this season because he was hurt last season. He didn't want to, but he's actually visiting Seattle today. His last healthy season in 2018, I think he was graded as the number 3 run stuffer in the league. So not a huge point of discussion in terms of the Seahawks don't need a guy like this. They're already second.
I disagree. No, I would love to get a fourth guy in there in the defensive tackle rotation.
It would be sweet because he obviously has the skill set and he's big enough to hold those blocks. But the Seahawks are already the second best rush defense in the league behind the Steelers, which is impressive. But you need to have that rotation because of the fact that this is only week 2, and by week 6, these guys are going to be like, hey, can we get someone else out here to, like, rotate through?
Okay, so I think their defensive rushing standing that you just mentioned has a lot to do not with the skill and their actual ability to stop the run. I think it's just the way that the games have played out. Obviously, they got off to a big lead against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Atlanta was running the ball effectively with Gurley early in the game. Of course, had to get away with that, trying to keep up with Russell and his
cooking.
His cooking. So I think that has part to do with it. I'm not sold on really any aspect of Seattle's defense at this point, but sure. I would like Snacks. I think it's good insurance.
I would definitely like him, and he's going to come cheap because of the fact that he's a run stuffer, D-tackle, that isn't quite as a glorified position in the NFL today. But I also would like that. I would like to see a pass rusher before I see a guy like Snacks Harrison, but we will agree to disagree in terms of the fact that Seahawks do need defensive linemen. So that will be nice to see. Moving into some picks. You know, I had a very good week 1, and my teams let me down this week. My teams that were supposed to win should have won, didn't, and because of that, they've really hurt my feelings and lost and put me in last place of a two-man race.
Yeah, so I would say it's not needless to say. However, we got to say it. So I went 13-2 this week. Of course, we shot the last show on Friday, so the Thursday night game had already happened. 13-2. You went 11-4. Of course, I got so much flack for picking the Monday night game correctly with the opening of the Death Star and the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden baby, and of course Drew Brees. Brees is washed, and
the Saints screwed me on that and my fantasy team. I needed 24.5 points from Drew Brees and the Saints defense. 24.5. And I got like 18.6.
Also, shout out to our lovely producer filling in. Sam is filling in for our typical producer, Vinny, who happens to be a huge Saints fan. So it's a little suspicious that he just happen to show up today.
He didn't show up today because he's embarrassed to show his face. I actually really like the Saints. I was confident with that pick. But the show has actually been like 10 times better, I think. And hopefully you see that too.
I know, and you were here last week taking shots at Sam because he didn't spell out the full word Broncos. I was like, hey, I'm not here for it. For the Sam Wells slander.
No, you're here. You're putting me in this box, and this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm giving him all the credit in the world. He did spell Bronco. Broncos.
Stop.
Five words spelled wrong.
But
he's killing it today.
Anyway, and I also would just like to note that Minshew Mania almost came back and beat those Titans as I predicted, let me down a little bit, ended up throwing an interception that was tipped at the line of scrimmage.
Both those picks that game for Minshew were ridiculous.
Tough. But so now through 2 weeks, I currently lead Justin by one game, and I'm excited to get to the picks this week and hopefully have another successful week. As I mentioned to you before the show, I do not feel confident about picking some of these games. Some of these are real toss-ups based on what we've seen throughout the first 2 weeks from these teams.
Yep, I'm actually switching up my strategy this week. I have not looked at this week's game slates. I'm really excited to make these picks just on the fly. I think that will help me. You can't overthink things when you're on the fly. So
it's true.
we're gonna do the picks here real quick. We have a game tonight, which I'm super excited for. Probably the best matchup of all time between two starting quarterbacks and their facial hair.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
We have Fitzpatrick with his glorious beard. No one can deny that. And then Gardner Minshew with the kind of the horseshoe mustache that's kind of killing it.
Yeah.
And
a real matchup of alma maters, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice Harvard versus WSU.
Oh, yeah.
It's a game of the year. Don't want to miss it. Actually,
WSU, Harvard of the West.
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. So I'm going to pick the Jags.
Yeah, I got to pick the Jags, too. I was rolling with them last week, and they came up just short. Give me the Jags. Yeah, and there was a little press conference, beefing. I think it was – it was all fun. There wasn't actually any malice there, but Fitzpatrick throwing a little shade at Minshew's mustache in juxtaposition with his lumberjack beard, of course, that he's got an iconic for. And yeah, so
he said beards are better than mustaches because if you have a mustache only, it's because your sides are patchy.
And that can be fair in a lot of cases.
It's decently true, I think. I love it. I would actually like to believe it was malintended. I would love to believe that Fitzpatrick is just like, you're a douche because your hair doesn't grow in very well. But I think
we obviously know, as a Harvard graduate, he's smarter than that. Also, can we make it through a game in which Fitzpatrick plays that the broadcast does not mention that he went to Harvard? I think everybody knows after 10-plus years in the league, that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. Thank you.
Like,
save your breath.
It's like Killian Tilly plays volleyball. That was always brought up during Zag broadcasts. It's the exact same thing. And everyone's like, I had no idea that he played volleyball. Yeah. I guess is what they assume people thought.
Jags.
Moving on, Jags for sure. We have the Bears and the Falcons at Atlanta.
It's got to be a get-right game for the Falcons. The Bears didn't look good. I mean, so they're 2-0. However, neither of those wins would give me, if I were a Bears fan, a ton of confidence going forward. And you played the Giants, and the Giants have an awful defense.
So I also agree. The last time I mentioned the Bears, because one of my good friends is a Bears fan, I told him, I was like, watch the show, man. I gave you a nice shout out. And he watched the entire show, got to the picks, and he's like, you called me buddy. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, I did give you a shout out. So AJ Christensen, I told him that I would give him an actual shout out.
Okay.
He is a Bears fan. I would love to pick the Bears. But he also told me that the defense is about to be ran over by the Falcons. Khalil Mack has not looked good. Robert Quinn, their offseason signing, has not looked good. And they said that they haven't really unleashed him yet. But I also believe that Atlanta Seattle wins this game after, and I think they win it actually pretty decently because of what they went
through. Their offense has been incredible. Obviously, yeah. They haven't gone up against stellar defenses in Seattle and Dallas, but oh my God, Matt Ryan. Yeah. Comeback tour, man.
Yep.
And Calvin Ridley is incredible. Somebody was messaging me. He's like, is Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones the new Julio Jones and Roddy White? And I was like, I was never a big Roddy White fan. He finally rounded into form, but he had a big case of the drops for a large part of his early career. And I was like, you know what? I actually like Calvin Ridley better, so no.
No, not at all.
Julio Jones and Calvin is a superior combo.
We have the Rams and the Bills.
This was hard because obviously my heart always wants to go Bills. Bills also are America's team. Up yours, Dallas.
They are.
Buffalo
Bills
is
Mafia.
Where America
Bills
lives.
Mafia is the fan base of the century behind the 12s.
Yep.
But the Bills definitely go harder and wilder than the Seahawks in their tailgate fashion.
Yeah, 100%. I went with the Rams. I think the Rams
Perfect.
Are absolutely just cooking on offense. They look like their 2018 form. They look good, which is awful for
us. They look good for now, I think, because they run their deep crossers, and that's all that they run.
Well, everything looks the same. Everything looks the same.
It's the exact same, and I think what happens is the NFL defense is starting with the Bills, who have a good defense. I think it's going to slow down the Rams, and I think Josh Allen has taken another step in his QB progression, and I think he's going to actually do really well. I'm going to go with the Bills, and I think this is going to be a big game changer. So, in terms of our standing, so I'm going to go with the Bills.
Okay. Yeah. Now you're in a position where you have to catch up a little bit.
And okay, thanks for just taking a shot there.
We
have Redskins and the Browns.
This
Washington and the Browns.
This is the man. You got to get.
I did it earlier.
On that.
I know. Did it well earlier.
If this is not the sexiest matchup of the week, I don't know. I don't know what is, and I don't know what sexy is. I actually, as much as I am kind of bullish on this Washington football team, even though they did not play well, as I predicted they might against Arizona last week, I'm going to go with the Browns just because I believe a little bit more in their offense. Obviously, they established that ground attack last Thursday night, and I'm not a huge Dwayne Haskins believer or just – in general, with that offense, maybe they can run the ball kind of okay, or they can pass the ball kind of okay, but they don't do any one thing very well. At least we've seen from a one-game sample size, the Browns can at least run the ball well.
Yeah. Tennessee
Hold on, who'd you pick? Don't do this
again.
We did
this last week. Yeah, we did. I missed a pick last week, I guess, and it was the Browns. Not the Browns.
It was
the
Dallas-Atlanta
game, and I would have picked Dallas anyway. But I'm going to pick the Browns as well.
Okay.
Washington isn't that good. Tennessee and Minnesota. I am going to Minnesota has looked terrible, and Tennessee has looked good. I really want to pick Minnesota because I feel like they have to get a get-right game as well. It's at Minnesota. I'm going to pick the Titans.
I'm going with the Titans too. You and I totally whiffed. We were very confident in Minnesota up against Indianapolis last week, and wow, that is an
culture looking
oof
good
of a situation.
Yeah, that was bad. All right, Patriots and the Raiders.
I wanted to go with the Raiders just because, as I said a couple weeks ago, I actually think that the Raiders are going to be sneaky competitive. But I'm going with the Patriots. They've looked good.
Their offense has looked really good. Cam looks better. I also am going to pick the Patriots because of the fact that I think it's a healthy Newton is a dangerous Newton. But I think the Raiders will have a good year. Niners, Giants, Niners. Even with their injuries, the Giants are just not a good football team.
Yeah, so this is my
most – especially without Saquon.
Yeah.
Now, if Saquon Barkley was in this game, you might be more inclined to be like, he might have a monster game.
Eh.
But no, it's going to be the Niners.
So this is by far and away my most negligent pick to date. I'm going to go with the Giants.
It looks like I'm going to take the lead next week.
I'm just basing it – right, yeah. I'm just basing it off the fact that the Niners got to be completely demoralized, and I think the Giants – I don't know. That's all I got.
All right, dude. That was a sick
really
rationale
there.
You're really trying to
separate myself and
distance
in between.
Giants
us.
Are going to win this for sure. Now we have the Eagles and the Bengals. Eagles suck, but the Bengals also suck. Eventually, Carson Wentz has to figure it out at least a little bit. Now, I don't think Carson Wentz is a top. He's borderline top 10 for me right now.
No.
And as in like. He's not top 10. He's like 12, 13. But he has the potential to be like 8. And I think the Eagles win this.
I think the Eagles win it too, just because they're better coached. Obviously, they're in an 0-2 hole, and I think they're going to have a sense of desperation. Obviously, the media has been talking about how much of a disappointment they have been, especially Carson Wentz so far. And he's looked really bad. And a lot of the throws that he's missing, you can't really attribute to any other part of the offense other than just him missing throws.
Yeah, he has missed a lot of throws.
So with all of that negative talk about the Eagles, I'm riding with them. Let's go.
Perfect. This also should be a really good game this week. Texans, who are 0-2, are traveling to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers.
Steelers, just because of the defense. Their offense has not looked awesome. Like, it's competent and miles ahead of where they were last year just because they have Big Ben back there.
Yeah.
But their defense is awesome, dude.
I hope Houston plays well because I have Watson on my fantasy team. But I think the Steelers at home, even though there are no fans, it's still Heinz Field.
Also, who on the Texans or within that organization made a pact with the devil to get the schedule that they have gotten to start the year? And it doesn't get easier after this. I don't remember off the top of my head who they have to play, but they have at least two more weeks of really tough
They play the Ravens, Chiefs, Steelers in their first 3 weeks of the season. They play the Vikings, which is a tough matchup. At least it should be. And then the Jags, Titans, Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty brutal 6 weeks.
It's not what you want.
But I am going to pick the Steelers on that one. We have Jets, Colts. That's going to be the Colts. Jets are god-awful. We have the Chargers and the Panthers. What say you?
I say Chargers just because Tyrod Taylor is not playing, and I think that is the best case scenario for the Chargers. Herbert showed a little bit of promise. Obviously, he had a lot of mental errors and some inaccurate throws. Maybe chalk that up, you know, to some nerves or just getting out there for the first time and the speed of the game being different and everything. But no, I liked the way that the Chargers offense moved with Herbert in there a lot more than what we saw from Tyrod in week 1 against the Bengals. So,
and their new stadium is beautiful.
It's awesome. Pretty. And their uniforms are sick.
They actually
obviously
are way better than the Rams. They did it right there in LA.
Exactly. But. Yeah, so give me the Chargers, and their defense showed up last week, and it was actually a really impressive outing, even though they have a decent history of playing the Chiefs kind of better than most teams would. But yes, Los Angeles.
I'm also going to pick the Chargers because of the fact that McCaffrey, they might lose 6 games without McCaffrey. Yeah. We have Denver and Tampa Bay. I'm going to go with Tampa because they have no injuries and Denver's out of the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, Jeff Driskel actually made some throws and played pretty impressively, which was kind of surprising. But I'm going to go with the Bucs too. However, I do think there is potential here for Denver to. I don't know because I'm not completely sold on the Bucs because they look streaky within the game.
They do.
Like, they have a couple drives, and it's like, okay, this is kind of what we expected in the offseason. And then they just sputter out of control, the next series. And so I'm not completely sold. Obviously, they're still working through some of the growing pains there in Tampa Bay, but I'm going to go with the Bucs.
Yep. And we have the Cardinals and Detroit. Cardinals are looking pretty good overall.
Unfortunately.
Cardinals should win this game.
Cardinals.
And they're also at home. We have the Packers and the Saints, which should have been a really good game, but right now isn't looking that great based off the way the Saints are playing. The Saints have to also have a get-right game on offense, but they still probably won't have Michael Thomas. He's really trying to push to get back. If I'm the Saints, I'm holding him back to not play. But even with Michael Thomas, I still am probably going to pick the Packers.
Not a lot of fans, but there's speculation that – or not speculation, but people are wanting to see some Jameis Winston actually get the ball further than 10 yards down the field. Yeah, the Saints, man, tough. I mean, I hate to say that I called it, but hey, it's only week 2, so I'm sure they're going to be just fine and get the number 1 seed or something crazy just to spite me. But I'm going to go with the Packers just because they have looked incredible so far this year, and the Saints are coming off that loss, and it's just like it was a head-scratcher. Not really, but like, what are they doing?
I don't know what they're doing. Game of the week is Monday night, and it's going to be an incredible one. Probably game of the season in terms of just pure matchups at this point. We have the Chiefs at Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick whoever you don't pick because I think either team has the chance to win this.
Okay, I'm going to go with Baltimore.
All right, well, it looks like the Chiefs are going to win.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the Chiefs on that one. I think that's going to be an awesome matchup. Literally, this can go either way. I'm going to be really excited to see what the odds are on that game. It should be a pick 'em, I would guess. But they, I don't know. Moving on real quick, we have the Cowboys at Seattle. This should also be a really good game. I think.
I hope not.
I also hope not. but
Dallas, my vocal cords are still recovering from Sunday night, that
really
last play.
That was incredible.
I could use an easy Sunday.
I could also use a nice easy Sunday. This is, I think, Fox's game of the week, so I think we are going to get
Buck Aikman and America's sweetheart, and Aaron Andrews.
And
yeah,
Aaron
I'm all about
Andrews.
It.
Oh, yeah. But I'm going to pick Seattle. I probably am going to pick Seattle every week just to
get
ready
yeah.
for that. But I really do think that Seattle's defense will be better as the season goes on. I think their rush defense against Zeke will be really tested this week because I know that that's what they're really going to want to do is just run it down Seattle's throat. I also think Seattle's offense continues to do well. Eventually, though, too, Dallas's defensive line has to wake up. They have a lot of stars on that defensive line.
But former
they have,
stars.
Well,
DeMarcus
sort of,
Lawrence is a current one, even though he regressed a little bit last year. But they
and
had
he was hurt. But they have Griffin.
Right.
And but they also only have 2 sacks this year, which I think is the worst in the league. And this is coming from a defensive line that has a ton of money on it and a ton of stars and former stars. So eventually they're going to get it figured out. Hopefully it's not this weekend, but I'm going to pick Seattle, and I'm going to say Seattle wins by 8.
Okay.
9. Seattle wins by 9.
Thank you for that specification. I'm going to go with Seattle, too, and I hate myself for having picked Seattle in the 3 games so far this year. Usually I'm not that optimistic. However, they've looked good, especially on offense. Yeah, give me Seattle. There's rain in the forecast, and so in theory, that would lead you to believe that maybe the run game is going to be a little bit more of a factor, especially for Seattle, because it hasn't been, even though Carson got, I think, 17 touches compared to how few he had in week 1 against Atlanta. I would love to see them get back to the ground, even though my heart stops every time the ball is in Chris Carson's hand. However, it's not come out this year. Knock on wood that continues, that he keeps up that great ball security, but I am also going to go with Seattle.
Yeah, definitely. I think Zeke's a jabroni just based off of his haircut. So, jabroni of the week here. What do you got?
Aren't we tag teaming this one? Don't we have one?
We do, but I had one too, just real quick, because it was that one. This one's awesome. I just want to play that video that we had because I love hating on this guy, and we're gonna hate on him just a little bit more, real quick.
Okay, go ahead. Roll it, Sam.
Pissed me off. That's my true answer. It pissed me off because out of 101 votes, I got 16 first place votes. That's what pissed me off.
I can't do it with LeBron. The fact that he's complaining, I only got 16 first place votes. Sorry, dude. We talked about this last week, too. You weren't the best player in the regular season. You're lucky you got 16, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I also hate the fact that someone actually walked up and said, LeBron, what do you think about MVP? And he, in that interview, too, he didn't even – I don't know if this is just me not liking LeBron at all, but he was like, yeah, the guy who won it deserved it. To me, that's a little bit of a slight. Like, he didn't even have the ability to say Giannis or whatever. Like, he just said the player who won it. To me, that just feels like LeBron is putting himself here with the rest of the NBA here. Jabroni.
Dude, yeah. So, I mean, any critic of LeBron that doesn't just outright hate LeBron but looks at it from a somewhat objective standpoint critiques the stuff like this, not the person that he is in the community and the things that he's done or his play on the court. It's just the constant need for theatrics, whether after the 2018 finals and coming out with ice on his hand, be like, oh, hey, should we actually maybe consider that injury played a part in you guys losing the series, or him coming out with the Godfather shirts and making the references. However, when he was actually asked about maybe citing a quote from the Godfather, he had nothing, because guess what? He actually hadn't watched the movies. He was just trying to really cultivate and tap into some sort of mentality. And it's just, obviously, he's the face of the league and has been for over a decade now, and he is one of the worst and most egregious offenders of flopping, and you just don't want that. I don't want that for the game. Anybody that watches the game doesn't want it. This is LeBron. For better and for worse, this is the worst. I haven't seen him say something stupid in a while, so I guess he was due. And I understand why he's doing it. He's trying to generate some momentum, trying to get, you know, because this is what the greats do, even though I don't think LeBron is exactly wired like an MJ or a Kobe. However, he's trying to do just that and take any slight against him, even though it was a justified. And it wasn't even a slight. Giannis should have won it. If you wanted to take offense to one, maybe the Derrick Rose in 2011, maybe that one with your first year in Miami, that was actually one that you should have won. But this one, no, dude. If the rest of the regular season had played out and you played miraculously and could have made up some ground to catch up to Giannis, sure. However, this ain't it. LeBron being LeBron.
Yep. All right. We have an awesome Jabroni of the Week that we both really enjoy and I think is hilarious.
Are we talking Belichick or
We're talking.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, there was a speaking of injuries, this one is by far in a way the most ridiculous and I think kind of funny because of the fact that he's gonna be fine, but I think it's very funny.
He's gonna be fined?
No, fine. Like, he'll be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
No, he'll be okay. But the NFL Players Association is investigating this, which I think is ridiculous, because it's not like this guy purposefully did this, and if he did, I guess, then he should be.
So it was a surprise to everybody, including Justin Herbert, when Justin Herbert was notified by Anthony Lynn during warm-ups that he was going to be starting against the Chiefs.
I want to see how that conversation went down, because I imagine it like hey, dude, like, you know, we need you to be under center today. And Herbert's like, hey, coach, that's funny. Like, I'm going to keep stretching here.
Yeah.
I don't even
No, he was surprised. He didn't take it seriously. It took him some time to come to terms with it. But it was just not really a specified chest injury to Rod Taylor. And so then in the coming days, we learn that one of the team doctors was actually treating Tarod for cracked ribs that he has, which to my knowledge was also news. And so they gave him a shot and it punctured his lung.
Whoops. That's not the goal when you're giving someone a shot, is to stab him right in the lungs. I think he was trying to murder him.
For the past 10 years that I've been getting ESPN notifications, I honestly think this might take the cake for just the most bizarre notification that I've gotten.
I mean, I'm surprised actually that it doesn't happen more often, because I mean, your lungs are in the same place for every human, but they're not like the same depth for every human. And like, if you're trying to really get to a certain spot, like, I'm surprised you don't hit things more often.
I just feel for the team doctor. He's got to feel so awful about himself.
In this day and age, there could be some big issues with this, and it's really unfortunate because like, I don't know. I'm speculating, and I hope nothing does. We'll keep you updated, because if the team doctor gets in trouble for this, you're going to hear about it here, because that would be ridiculous.
It would be, but at the same time, it wouldn't be. Exactly. It wouldn't be terribly surprising. Yeah, so that's a little secondary jabroni. Obviously, LeBron really really embodying our definition here at the locker room of a jabroni. We'll probably sign off here, but we'll leave you with an awesome picture of Bill Belichick.
A very typical Bill Belichick. We'll toss this one up here for you, because it literally is, I mean, the best part, too, is they grabbed this at a time where his face, I mean, he looks like a guy who, I mean, I've seen this, like, someone said he looks like a guy who lives under the underpass and just had a can of cold beans for dinner, and this is that guy. He found that Patriots shirt on the ground after the Patriots lost a Super Bowl, and this is the embodiment of a guy who is, this is Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
in the flesh.
It's awesome. And obviously, he's not a guy known for having great hair or anything, but even his hair is like noticeably rough and messy.
Well, he's losing his hair pretty quick, because they showed the Patriots.
He's like 69.
Don't, he's 68.
Oh,
Carol's okay. 69.
All right, whatever.
But no, you're right. I probably shouldn't have.
Anyway, producer Sam had a pretty sick line when I came in this morning, saying that basically it was a collaboration between the New England Patriots and Kanye West on a new clothing line, which I thought was pretty good. So
it's true. If Kanye
secondary shout out to Sam.
If Kanye was selling that, that's a $400 shirt.
That's right.
So, I mean,
okay, but basically you can't talk ill of it, just because when you have that many rings, like, honestly, I feel like this is more of a boss move and a flex than anything
is,
to
sure.
actually ridicule. This is just, he can do whatever
you
want.
You know, Bill Belichick wakes up in the morning and he goes to his closet and he's like, where is the ugliest? That's the one.
Ooh,
he tosses this thing on. He walks into the organization and he's like, I'm ready for my interview. Look at what I'm wearing. And he doesn't care. And he's like, I don't care at all about what I'm wearing, because of the fact that I have these pretty things right here.
That energy that Bill exhibited with that appearance in that press conference is what we can only hope that you guys carry into this football weekend, week 3.
Yep.
We're in the swing of things, but knock on wood, cross fingers that there aren't nearly as many injuries, because that was just rough last week.
That was rough for everybody. I don't condone injuries, but if they had to happen to an organization.
Stop, just stop.
Glad it was the 49ers.
Stop.
Glad it was
Why
the 49ers.
Say
I'm going to say it. Glad it was the 49ers.
Man.
Don't care. Don't care because
that's I'm not liable for whatever happens in a karmatic sense.
I might get canceled. The NFL might cancel me for saying that. So speaking of the NFL, like you said, have an awesome week. We will see you again next week when I am leading the picks. And we'll have a great weekend. Hopefully you have a great weekend as well. And this was The Locker Room on September 24th, day after my birthday. See you next week.
Thanks for watching The Locker Room on Spokane Talks. Check us out on Facebook as well as our other platforms. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation by emailing us at info@SpokaneTalksOnline.com. And for more sports news, opinions, and content, follow Justin and me on Twitter.